From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this election day in Maine, Tuesday, November 6, 2018. And on this day, Maine's voter turnout's being described as strong and steady. Voters aren't just coming out for the governor's race. And Holocaust survivors share their stories with a younger audience. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
First tonight, in case you haven't heard, it is Election Day here in Maine. Some polling places have had voters lined up at the door. Secretary of State Matt Dunlap says he believes turnout will beat the 2014 midterm record and could go even higher. Dunlap's been crossing the state today, visiting polling places from Portland to Lewiston to Brunswick and Bangor. He says voters seemed resolved to cast their ballots even when they were forced to wait in line and brave wet weather.
It's not so much excitement, but a real sense of resolve. People are there to vote. And, you know, we've had very long lines.
Voting today in Portland, Pascal Yambe says he hopes the current election results in a political shift toward the Democratic Party. It is his first time voting ever.
I never voted in my life, you know, so this is the first time to vote, so I'm so proud.
Yambe's a baker at Amato's Bakery in Portland. And voting at the Cross Center in Bangor, John David Hyatt says he voted for Sean Moody for governor, but that independent Terry Hayes would have been his second choice.
And I actually was torn between Moody and Hayes because I actually liked Hayes a lot more than Moody because I was originally for Mason. But I decided that that Moody was a better choice than Mrs. Attorney General Mills.
Secretary of State Dunlap says he expects more than 610,000 Mainers will cast ballots, and he predicts a turnout of 65% or more. In a presidential year, Maine often exceeds 70%. Polls close tonight at 8. The official end of the Holocaust was May of 1945, and in the 73 years since then, many of the survivors have passed away. But some are still here and telling their stories. Robbie Feinberg spoke with some survivors in Maine who are seeking and finding a much younger audience to keep these stories from being forgotten.
I was born in Strasbourg, which is on the border of France and Germany.
On a recent weekday morning, Charles Rotemill sits down in front of a large blue projector screen at the Holocaust and Human Rights Center in Augusta. He begins to recite a story he's told to thousands of students across Maine. On this day, he's speaking to just a handful. He shows them an image of a young girl being executed by Nazi officials.
This girl is 16 years old. How old are you guys? How old are you?
13.
Can you imagine?
Rotemill tells them that he's a witness, a hidden child, a Jewish boy who grew up in Hitler's Germany during the time of the Holocaust and lost his mother, sister, and father. As millions of Jews were taken from their homes and sent to concentration camps, Rotemill and his brother went into hiding. They found shelter with a Catholic monk and later with a Catholic family. But Rotemill says he still came face to face with death on multiple occasions. Nazi soldiers, he says, would ransack the homes of people they suspected were harboring Jews.
The interrogation would be a desk with a lamp shining in your eye. And one by one, they were interrogating people. And then they were put into a truck that was waiting outside. Well, my turn came. One of them says, Bist du Jude? Are you a Jew?
On the large projection screen, Rotemill displays newspaper headlines and hateful messages he'd see every day.
Talking about fake news, I mean, all you had was propaganda. You just made a practice. You don't believe what you hear, and you half believe what you saw in a newspaper.
Yep, it was a newspaper ad in a German-language Jewish publication in the United States that ultimately brought Rotemill to America. Wrote Mill's aunt and uncle saw the names of him and his brother in a list of survivors published in the months following the end of World War II. In 1946, at the age of 14, Wrote Mill emigrated to the United States. But for decades, he says, he still hid his story and identity, afraid it could make him a target, even in a new country.
In fact, my brother was very against talking about it. He said, "You're dwelling on the past." And I said to him, look, I don't dwell on the past. The past dwells in me. It's there, it's churning.
And about 30 years ago, with the encouragement of the former director of Maine's Holocaust and Human Rights Center, Wrote Mill says he decided to tell his story publicly. It was nerve-wracking, he says, to share long-hidden details. But he soon saw the impact, as students would come up to him from the audience and share their own stories of trauma.
Those are important conversations for us to be having.
David Greenham is the associate director of the Holocaust and Human Rights Center, which later this week will bring together Wrote Mill and others with firsthand stories for an event looking back on the 80th anniversary of Kristallnacht. That was the night in 1938 when troops across Germany destroyed stores, buildings, and synagogues and arrested thousands of Jewish residents.
It's a story of the rhetoric suddenly and on purpose turning to violence. And here we are in a time of tremendous rhetoric. What are the limits of rhetoric? How far does our freedom of speech get stretched before violence happens, before something occurs?
And Edith Pagelson, another Holocaust survivor who will also take part in the event, says she sees some of that hateful rhetoric manifesting itself today across the country and Western world.
I always say it can come here, you have to watch out. And I also say, you know, it's a free country, but don't abuse that free. That's what I'm saying.
Pagelson says she was devastated when she heard the news late last month that 11 people were killed in a shooting at Pittsburgh's Tree of Life Synagogue. The attack comes as anti-Semitic hate crimes were already on the rise in recent years. Yet Pagelson is also encouraged by the response to the shooting, bringing together thousands of people in vigils nationwide, representing many different faiths.
My son called me from upstate New York. He went to a service in Saratoga Springs, and he says all the churches came. That was a good one.
You know, you teach that to kids, I mean, they're going to believe
Charles
it.
Wrote Mill was encouraged by the response, too. But he also says it's important to keep telling his story, so lessons aren't forgotten years down the road.
Well, people like me are disappearing. So they had the opportunity to meet a witness. Like I started my talk, I'm not a historian. I'm a witness. I was there.
And he'll tell his story again this Friday afternoon at the Holocaust and Human Rights Center in Augusta. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
And education reporting on Maine Public Radio is supported by a grant from the Nellie Mae Education Foundation. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Tuesday, November 6, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.